Welcome to the Standard Bread Podcast by Raising the Standards, where you'll get easy to follow retraining advice to help you feel less confused and more confident to swing into the saddle and unharness the potential of your standard bread. Here's your host, lover of a good old champ with a stamp, Nick Tassone.
Hi, Standard Bread lover, Nick here from Raising the Standards. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Standard Bread Podcast. Today we're going to talk about pacing. So most of us standy riders, I guess, understand that our horses race as harness racehorses, and so pacing is something that is familiar to them from their history in cart. But did you know that pacing is actually something that your horse may have done even if they weren't a successful racehorse? That's right, pacing is something that starts well before even a sulky is introduced to our horses in this day and age, because it is something that is bred into our standies from a genetic standpoint. So today's episode is going to focus on our standardbreds' history and I guess how they are bred and why the things that they do even before harness racing can really impact and shape this predisposition and this preference to fall into the pacing action. We find that pacing is something that horses do when they are a little bit unbalanced, nervous, or confused under saddle. And I liken it to a toddler grabbing hold of their security blanket and holding on tight when the world gets a little bit scary and overwhelming. Pacing is very familiar to our standardbreds. It's something that, as I've sort of suggested, they've been doing often for a very long time before we inherit them beyond the racetrack. So what do we know about pacing? Well, I'm certainly not a harness racing trainer myself, and I definitely don't breed my own standardbreds. But from what I understand, we've had generations and generations of careful refinement to bloodlines to genetically gear our modern day pacers to find the pacing action a lot more natural. So what does this mean? Well, from what I understand, and I'm going to drop a link in the show notes to an article I found, which is a little bit technical, but still very, very interesting. So go in and have a look if you want. The pacing gait is actually something that is even found in the DNA. There is a gene made just for pacing, and horses who have this particular gene have been found to have a very natural preference to pace. This means if you've got a standardbred who finds pacing really natural, they may just have been bred to do this and been doing it for a very long time. I've been to some big breeding studs and taken footage of foals who are less than a week old, and even at that age, with no gear on obviously, they are seen pacing around the paddock, just zooming around at pace. So if you think about what age you inherited your standardbred as a retiree, it may have been as young as even 4 years old, they've still had 4 years potentially of pacing as their most natural and preferred gait as opposed to trot. So we have to be really mindful and respectful of that when we do ask our standardbreds to do things under saddle, because we might be asking them to do things that are against what they find particularly comfortable. So genetics is certainly the first point that I would like to make when we're discussing, I guess, an overview of pacing and why our standardbreds might be likely to do pacing under saddle, because they've been doing it for a long time and it's something they've been bred to do. The second point kind of stems off this, and I touched on the fact that our standies are often seen pacing as very young foals in the paddock. Sometimes though, they are just imitating their mothers. And if you've got a mother or a mare who is a natural free legger, and by free legger I mean that they pace without any gear on, who does this in the paddock, paces up and down, and they've got a foal at foot, often you can find that the foals will imitate their mothers, and so they might just naturally copy what their mothers do and find that they've been pacing from a very young age, again, just due to imitation. So that's another point that I want to put into play. Again, just highlighting the fact that this pacing thing that our horses do is something that they may have been doing for a very long time. So once a great deal of effort and expense has been put into creating a little foal who finds pacing quite natural, as they grow, they will become a bit of an exciting prospect. And so when they are eventually broken to cart, they will be introduced once, obviously, they've got their safety sort of stuff under control, they understand how to pull a cart and have worn all the gear and a pretty safe and responsive sort of drive, then they will be introduced to pieces of gear potentially that will just straighten up and refine that pacing action. The main one I can think of is hopple straps, which is sort of like where the harness trainer will actually step the horse into these loops. And these loops are designed to sort of bind the legs on each side of the body together so that the horse steps its left front and back legs together at the same time and then swings through to swap to the right side with the right front and back legs moving as a unified pair. So this is a little bit of the opposite, I suppose, of what we as humans find natural. If you were to walk down your whatever room you're in right now or wherever you are, if you were to take a little walk, you'd find as you step your left leg forward, your right arm will swing. And then as you step your right leg forward, your left arm will swing. So that we sort of move in diagonal patterns. And horses are the same, unless they're bred or trained for pacing. So a trotter will move in diagonal pairs with their right hind leg and left front leg moving as a pair and then swapping to the other diagonal pair. So pacers do the opposite. They move from side to side and bind the same front and back leg on each side of the body together to work as a pair. So this is interesting if you think about it. And when they're in full flight, it's amazing to watch. I will drop some footage of a pacing race close up so you can see that action in play and a photo close up of hopple straps so that you can have a bit of a look at that too. And hopple straps are certainly something that we look into with detail along with a whole bunch of other harness racing gear, which is important to understand, I suppose, if you're a standard bred owner, all of the different types of gear, not how to fit them or anything that detail, but if you understand the sort of pieces of gear your standard bred has worn before and what they're used for, you have a better understanding, I think, of why your standard bred might move in particular ways and behave in particular ways, which is really handy. So we go into a lot of detail and have videos with harness race trainers talking us through that gear in some of our main courses, like our retraining the standard bred tractor hack course. So that's why we go into detail. I think sometimes knowing what our horse has done before we took them on is really important to understand what's the best way forward when we're retraining them under saddle. So as I said, in the show notes, which I will give you the little address to in a minute, you can go in and have a look at some of that pacing action in full race flight. So by now I'm hoping that you're getting a bit of an understanding that our standees are really geared towards this pacing gait to find it quite natural from a very young age. It's come through bloodlines, there's possibly imitation of their mothers in the paddocks as foals, and lots of harness race training, practice, and particular pieces of gear that are designed to make the pacing gait really comfortable and natural. So by the time you take your pacer on, your retiree that is, it doesn't really matter whether they were a successful racehorse or whether they never even made it to the races at all. It starts well before our horses step a foot onto the harness racetrack. It comes through training and even before that, things that they do in the paddock. And even before that, just the choosing of the proper stallion and mare to create a horse who's going to find the pacing action natural. So really have a think about what that might mean for your horse, because they don't really understand that the rules have changed. And that might mean that when you're asking your horse to trot, you might think it's as simple as, well, just trot, come on. That seems like the next natural thing to do. I ask you to walk and then trot. But really, your horse might not have any real experience with this trotting business. And they've got a lot of, I guess, mental unpacking of all of their history that they have to do a bit of detraining before you can really retrain. Physiologically, it's pretty easy to sort of understand when you look at a retired harness racehorse's stature that they've got a lot of change to make to recondition for riding purposes. They'll often have quite strong, overdeveloped undercarrying muscles, particularly through their neck from holding their head up high, and these deep pulling muscles that are designed to pull a sulky at great speed. Now, when you compare that to a riding horse whose stature, you know, we want them to work initially long and low and then pick up in the front into self-carriage, and they've got to have all of this supportive top line muscle that's built up so that they can safely and comfortably bear the weight of a rider, there's a lot of physiological change. It's pretty easy to look at a standard bred who is a retired harness racehorse and understand that there's things their body has to recondition for before they're going to make a particularly good riding horse. But mentally, there's so much that we might not even consider when we think about what we're asking our horses to do and just the change in their routines and what they might find natural in terms of even the way that they just move. So I actually wrote a blog article about the mental shift that our standard breds go through. It was a little bit of a story, and I kind of gave an analogy of what I could compare this experience to in human terms. So if you visit our show notes at raisingthestandards.com www.nikkiefromraisingthestandards.com.au/04, because this is our fourth episode, you will get a link to that article as well as a link to the DNA resource I mentioned earlier. So you can go and have a look at those two things. So I hope overall this little look at the harness racing history and the horse's history through breeding and their foal life, you're getting a greater understanding that pacing is something that's going to take your horse a bit of time to understand that it's not really something we want anymore, and to retrain so that they start to find the trot a bit more natural. And we've got to understand the process they're going through, be really respectful of that and supportive of our horse. I've never really met a standard bred who hasn't tried. The ones I've found who are particularly sour usually are quite uncomfortable and need some body work, or something's not working for them in their life. But for the most part, standies are pretty tenacious creatures and they love to try and they've got great work ethic. So they're going to be trying to do what you ask, and sometimes they're going to get the answer wrong, because what has always worked for them, particularly if they were a successful harness racing horse, is that when they're asked to do something, it's usually pacing, and pacing really fast. So they want to please their humans, and they're just not sure sometimes what the answer to that question of how do I please my person? Sometimes they're going to get that wrong. But if we're just understanding of everything they're going through, I think we give ourselves a really good platform to be quite patient with them and to treat this process, I guess, a bit systematic and step by step. So that's the process I've gone through with my retraining with my standard breds, and it's something that's certainly really worked for me, and I hope will really work for you as well. All right, thanks very much. Bye.